And we're on. All right, everyone. Well, welcome to the June LHLN Live conference call. Wanted to thank all of you for joining us. We have an awesome guest speaker. We're really excited about it. June's a big month for LHLN. We've got the conference coming up in a couple weeks. We have Corey Lloyd as our guest speaker and a new LHLN report coming out. Maria, do you want to tell us a little bit about the LHLN report?
Yeah, we actually have a new episode up, so I wanted to let everybody know it's actually up and ready. You can find all the episodes of LHON Report podcast on LHON Report. LHONReport.com. Download them off of iTunes. And episode number 9 is up, which is our international call. We have three interviews with a gentleman from Germany. We have one from Italy and one from Spain. So Brian did a great job interviewing these folks who are involved in the LHON community in their own countries. And it's a really great podcast, so be sure to hit it up after the call.
Awesome. Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Brian. You know, it's super easy. I actually subscribe to it through my podcast on my iPhone app. So you guys should definitely hit that up. I listen to it at work, so it's awesome, kind of good information to get on top of. Without further ado, I do want to introduce Corey Lloyd. He is our June speaker. But before that, just so we have Corey's undivided, or Corey has our undivided attention, I'm going to mute all of you. We do love all of you, but we do want to mute you. Let's see if I can. And then, Corey, in 2 seconds, I'll have you unmute.
Okay.
The conference has been muted.
Okay, conference has been muted. Corey, please unmute yourself. Corey is awesome. I actually got to speak to Corey last week. And such an inspirational guy, motivated, and has such a great story to share. So I'm excited that all of you are able to learn about his story as well. It's awesome to hear about and hear tonight, hear his amazing support network. And, you know, support is key. You know, and it kind of comes down to kind of facing a hard trial and tribulations with life, and LHON kind of knocks us all a little bit. And to have an amazing support system like Corey has is, I mean, irreplaceable. So, Corey, please share our story. When were you first affected? Uh-oh. Corey? *67? Or *7, one of the two.
Oh, no. Hear me? Can you hear me?
There we go. Perfect.
Okay. All right, cool.
All right.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
I was affected spring 2013, right at the time that I was graduating from college at Rutgers University. And I just made it out in time. It was a tough time for me. Losing sight as it was for everybody in the group. And so 2013 started like everybody else's did, with my right eye, and then the next thing was my left eye, and I thought I needed glasses like most of us do, but I realized that it wasn't just my eyes, it was my optic nerve that was affected. And my brother, who's on the call right now, actually walked with me across the stage and, you know, guided me throughout the process. And, it was a tough transition, as it still is right now. But getting through it, adjusting with it like all of us are. And going through what I like to call, I'm going through the stages of grief, which I don't remember which, like, all of them are, but, you know, you go through the denial, the acceptance, the compromising, and all those stages. So, 2013, and 3 years later, I would say that, you know, I'm doing better than I was then, but I'm still adjusting.
But you've come so far, so tell us, I mean, obviously, awesome support network that you got surrounding you. Brother walked you across stage, which is awesome. But you've been to two different schools. What have those schools taught you, and how have they kind of helped you?
When I knew that I was legally blind, I had to register with the New Jersey Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So I went through there, and they recommended that I would go to a school called the Joseph Cohen Training Center for people who are blind or visually impaired. So I went there, and they taught me Braille, orientation, and mobility. Went there for that. Cooking, cleaning, all that without vision. So I went there for that and graduated thinking that I would be able to obtain employment upon graduation, but I realized that it's a little bit tougher after I graduated from there. So then from there, I kept, you know, seeking employment. I learned the screen reading software, JAWS, Job Access with Speech, which I know a lot of people have heard of. And I went through that. I learned the skills from that. I had to go back into the Commission for the Blind and have them send out a trainer to teach me that program even further. And then from there, I heard about a school in Buffalo where I went up there for a while. And I went to a school called the Statler Center. And from there, they taught me the ins and outs and the intricacies of the hospitality industry. And I went up there for that, and the hospitality industry taught me about hotels and museums and hospitals and things like that. So I learned everything from that. Hello?
Hey, that was just someone jumping in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I learned the intricacies of those different schools, industries, and still looking for employment now. But I went up to Buffalo for a 10-month stint, and I went up there for a while and learned about all of that.
How many months were you there?
10 weeks.
Oh, 10 weeks. Okay. So do they now that you've graduated from Statler, will they kind of check in with you and see where you're at to be able to help you find
a
job?
So it's pretty much like a second counselor. So
they'll
check in with me like every week. So I'm with them every week, and I'll talk to them all the time. And they'll say, okay, how are your JAWS lessons going? And how is this going? How's that going? I don't know if anybody on the call is dealing with, like, the mental side of losing your sight. But I know I talked to Jeremy, and I've heard Lissa say that, you know, it might be better to talk to a doctor about how vision loss has affected your mind. So I've been meeting with a counselor about the whole thing as well. So I'll do that. I'll get training on the computer, and all that has helped me get to where I am right now and feel better about my life and feel better professionally. And it's helped me to get to where I am today.
Awesome. With each person and everyone, professionally with a counselor and with a job placement counselor, there are so many people that know exactly, like, how to deal, especially with the mental side of losing vision. You know, it's really hard. It's hard to kind of know what you had to know where you are now. So, professional counseling help is huge. I feel like I know so many people that have done counseling, and it really has made a difference. Just to kind of get right back on track, for sure.
Right. I just never wanted to feel weak about where I am in life. I never wanted to feel weak. I always wanted to present myself in the most confident way moving forward, but I know that, you know, sometimes professional help is needed.
Absolutely.
You know, I can you know, I talk to my family members as much as I can, friends, support system, of course. But, you know, I also tap into all my resources available.
Oh, yeah. I mean, support is key, whether it's professional help, mom, dad, brother, I mean, cousins, stepbrothers, you know, it's all, they're, everyone's essential to kind of helping. And, you know, they probably learn so much as we learn so much. I mean, no one really knows what the next step is or, like, what's the best thing to say. It's just kind of a learning curve that we all do together.
Right.
And
exactly.
It kind of helps us all along, you know?
Yep. Exactly.
So brothers exactly. always, you live with your brothers, right? And so they're always kind of popping in and helping you out and driving
yeah.
your car around and you're, they're driving you around.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a different experience for my little brother. He actually went to the military, so he's not able to help me as much as he would like, but he still steps in whenever necessary, and I'll say, Kyle, can you research this and look this up for me online, or can you, you know, tap into this or make this phone call for me or give me this number, and
yeah,
he'll
perfect.
Give me the number right there. My older brother, he still lives close to me, so he's able to pick me up whenever I need to go somewhere, doctor's appointments or something like that. But I still have my dad and my stepmom around, and they can still help me. So,
yeah, that's cute. You know.
Yeah.
And now job searching. What's the next step? Where are you looking? And how does one go about looking for a job?
Well, I signed up with Indeed.com, so I'll get
okay.
job postings every day. Also LinkedIn, I try to improve my profile on there as much as I can. And then I'll also reach out to, like, fraternity brothers or, you know, family members. And see, I try to look into my network and see if they heard about any job postings. And things like that to see if I can gain employment from there. And then also I have a strong connection with my counselor through the Commission for the Blind and see if they can tell me about anything from there. I mean, I'm still looking for things. It's harder, of course, to make it to different career fairs or anything like that. So, I try my best, but it's a little tougher than, you know, having your own car or – you know, going to different places, or it's a little bit harder than it was before. But I try my best to get out there and, you know, push my resume or, you know, push my, you know, push everything so that I can take advantage of my bachelor's degree. So.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you're doing an awesome job networking. My grandpa always used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So
yeah.
Sounds like you're at least working that network. So that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because job searching is hard. There's all those little different buttons and icons, and apply here is like on the left on one page and right on the other. It drives me crazy.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. We do our best.
Right. So kind of backing up to the school that you had talked about, was it cool to kind of, I mean, of course you were learning various O&M training, you were learning how to cook and do all that sort of thing. But what about the people that you met while you were there?
I've learned so much from people who are visually impaired. So the first school that I went to, the Joseph Cohen Training Center, they taught me a lot. People who had less sight than me taught me so many things, like apps for my phone, like voiceover on my iPhone. Taught me different apps that I should look into. I could see enough where I can zoom in on different apps. I could
yeah.
zoom in. So they taught me the world. And even when I got up to Buffalo, it taught me a million things up there. So I feel like I've learned so much from the different people with visual impairments, how to move through a room and what to key into, what do you, like, just the different ways to move about a room, the different ways to, like, pick up on nonverbal and non-visual cues. So I learned so much from people like that. You know, telling Siri what to, you know, redial and telling Siri different things on my phone. I feel like I've learned so much more from just talking to different people like that.
Any insider secrets that are your favorites you'd share with us?
My favorite ones.
I mean, how do you work a room? I mean, what is that like?
How do I work a room? Well, like for me, just reading on my messages. So there was a time when I didn't even respond to people on my phone. So now I'll just tell Siri, read all my messages. My dad kind of gives me a hard time, and he'll be like, "Ah, Corey, I hear you all the time, read your messages." And just all I would say is read messages, and I got 4 conversations going. And you know, I'll just say, read messages. Okay, you have 4 messages in this conversation, 17 in this one, 22 in this one. And he'll hear me in the room. And then, like, if I call somebody, instead of I used to, at a certain point, I would zoom in on what the number is to type it into my keypad. But right now, so I would zoom in on it. But right now, I would just use VoiceOver to scroll over and, like, read what it is. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, so I would used to, like, what I would do before is take a Snapchat or snapshot. I would take a snapshot of the picture, go to my photos, and then zoom in on it. But now I'll just go to VoiceOver and scroll over what the number was, and I'll read in on that. So
I'm trying to teach myself VoiceOver, all the gestures.
It was the hardest thing that I had to go through, but right now it's made a world of difference.
Okay, yeah. So keep on learning that stuff.
Yeah.
When I want to, like, slam that thing across the room, I'm like, I don't know the gesture for this.
Right.
But it's
right,
cool.
Right.
I mean, it applies to everything, so it's worth all the hard work.
Right. So, like any app that I have on my phone, I can just use the VoiceOver feature, and it'll read everything. If I swipe my finger from left to right, it'll read what's on the page.
Nice. I've been doing a lot with the gesture, so I'll have to work on that. I thought it was swiping down. This shows how bad I am so far.
Right, and then you just take your finger, 3 fingers, and drag it left to right. And that'll get you from page to page.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, I did like a YouTube, like, VoiceOver 101. I've got to learn this, but.
Right, yeah.
I do have to say, when I talked to Corey last week, we were talking about, like, tips and tricks and just kind of, like, there's always something we can learn from each other. And so I have been putting Bumped Up on, I have 2 credit cards. I have one that's gold and one that's blue. Clearly, I always go for the blue one because I can see it better, which isn't always awesome because it's my debit card. But so I had Bumped Up on them. But then I was switching wallets, you know, girls versus wallets, whatever. And I was losing Bumped Up. And Corey actually told me about the new super glued, right?
Yeah. Yeah, super glued the top of my credit card. So if you put a little bit of, like, a dot of super glue on the top of your credit card, it'll give you a hard feeling. Well, I did it on the top left of my credit card. And from there, I know the difference between my credit card or my debit card.
So you had, like, 1 dot for debit and 2 dots for credit card? Is that what you did?
Well, I can still see well enough to know what my debit card is. My debit card is light blue, and I can still see my debit card. But I put the super glue on my credit card, so when I feel the top left, I know there's a harder feeling on that one. And that's my credit card, and I'll use that one when I access it.
Nice. Because, you know, we always are talking about, like, what can make us more efficient, what can make us look like, get us right back to quote-unquote normal you're in the grocery store line, they're like, oh, quick, get your credit card out. And you're like, no, like, which one, you know, like, and it's just like a quick, easy, and just careful on not too much super glue, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, don't put too much. And I had a bad experience with putting too much super glue on a different card. And the trick to get it off is WD-40 or butter. Because I had a bad experience when I put too much on it the first time.
That's like a two-for-one tip.
Huh?
It's like a two-for-one tip.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But then also, you got to, you know, I know a lot of people on the phone probably use a rubber band trick, where you put a rubber band on your conditioner as opposed to your shampoo.
Yeah.
So.
It's a little thing. I love the super glue idea because it's not like super obvious, like, hey, I can't see. I don't know
right.
what kind of card I'm giving you.
Exactly.
You feel it and kind of move on, and it's not super obvious. Like, everyone would ask me what the bump stops for, and I'm like, ugh.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Because we don't look, quote unquote, blind, you know?
Right. You look straight forward, and it's like, oh. Yeah. Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
Any other tips and tricks you'd like to share with us? I want to open it up to, I want to unmute the whole gang, I was going to say the whole fam, so they could ask any questions maybe about tips or tricks, or especially the schooling that you had participated in.
We can open up the floodgates to the questions, but yeah.
Hold on one second, guys.
Yeah.
The conference has been unmuted.
All right, you guys are unmuted. You're free. But in the meantime, if you, since you're all unmuted, if you could mute on with *67, I am hearing some feedback. So you guys could.
Can you mute everyone and talk about that? Because this is not going to work.
The conference has been muted.
Woo! Okay, just kidding. if you would like to ask a question, maybe we'll go that route. If you could, is it star? Oh, you guys can't respond to me. Star.
I unmuted myself, Jessica. Thank you. It's Maria. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
That's not going to work, everyone.
Yeah.
You need to turn off the speakers, phones. You need to turn off the TVs, all of that.
So maybe we'll do kind of like a one at a time sort of thing. We'll keep everyone muted if you do want to pipe in. Let's try, is it star 6-7?
Just *7, Jessica.
Yeah.
It's *7? Okay. And if you don't have any crazy background noise, please *7 yourself. And we'd like to open it up to questions for Corey, or if you have anything you'd like to chime in. And
For those who don't know, star is going to be your bottom left button on your keypad, and 7 is the number just above it.
Thank you, Andy. Anyone?
Corey? Corey, I will ask a question. I mean, you talked about the classes you went through, and you went somewhere for 10 weeks to learn the hospitality piece. But before that, you went, you took classes that taught you your cooking at home and those different things. Can you speak a little bit more on, like, the skills they taught you there? And, I mean, not necessarily individual tips, but the different general skills you learned. You mentioned cooking, but the other things there? Corey, you probably have to unmute yourself again. Sorry, you can press *7. When she muted everyone, you probably got it.
Jessica?
Yeah, well, Maria, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you. Is Jessica still there?
I think Jessica.
You know what? I was talking this whole time with mute on.
Okay.
Maybe just unmute so at least you can communicate with Corey. So maybe, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to – I'll unmute the whole game. Yeah. But if you are near a TV or having a small party, please mute yourself either on your iPhone or *67.
Yeah, just *6. As soon as she unmutes it, for those who can hear now, press *6, and it will remute you or press the mute button on your phone. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Jessica. I just want to say that before you open it up.
No, that's okay.
The conference has been unmuted.
Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, and we're back.
Okay. So wait. What should I do?
We're echoing.
No, you say.
Hello.
Oh, somebody's in the restroom.
Hello.
Uh-oh. Corey?
Yes.
Okay, so. Jessica.
We've got some killer echo.
I don't know what that is.
Can you hear that?
Hello?
Someone has their speakerphone on or something.
Yeah, maybe we should everyone take their speakerphone off or something. Is anyone near two phones? Oh, no more echo. Okay.
Oh,
Corey.
They took care of it.
Nice. Thank you, whoever did that. Corey, back to these questions. Sorry for that technical difficulty.
Okay.
So hello? I think, Annie, do you want to repeat your question, please?
Yeah, Corey, I was just going to have you elaborate a little bit on, I mean, you went through several different schoolings even since losing your vision. If you could just talk about the courses they put you through. I mean, I don't need to learn every little tip and trick because you obviously went through almost a year's worth of training, but the different courses and those things that you found valuable.
Well, when I went to the first school, a lot of it was, and I don't want to demean anyone's mindset or demean anyone's, like how smart anyone is. But a lot of it in the beginning was a little bit like common sense. So they would teach me about, how to fill up a cup and not over pour it. And, you know, how to measure something or how to go about it that way. And then how to weigh something and how to go through certain things like that, that I was kind of like, yeah, I got it. I get it. How to crack an egg and how to do certain things like that, that I kind of feel like I already knew how to do it. So I went along with the process of those type of things. Can you elaborate on the question?
Yeah. I mean, I think you did a good job answering it. I just didn't know if there were things outside of, I mean, you mentioned the cooking piece, and I guess orientation, which is kind of, I mean, like your mobility piece, getting around a little bit. I didn't know if there were other classes involved with your center that you went to or not, but there may not be.
Yeah, well, I mean, the instructors, they would show me how to go through like laundry and show me where to put bump dots on different parts of the washer and the dryer, and they taught me a lot about that, so I wouldn't have to ask anybody how to grab dryer what's it called on like a like it wouldn't show me how to put the dryer on a certain level or a washer on a certain level. I would do it myself. So, I mean, it taught me a lot. It really taught me a lot. And I did my best to learn, and they did their best to teach me what they learned throughout their vision loss. And so, you know, it was good, but, I mean, a lot of it, like I said before, relied on common sense. So common sense plays a huge role in it, and I feel like I could pick up things really, really quickly. And can you elaborate on what you mean by you understand what I mean?
No, I mean just around the areas that they taught you and how valuable those are. But I also understand the patronizing effect of it a little bit around you understanding quickly. And those are things that, I mean, frankly, it's a good problem to have, but it's something that a lot of us go through as well.
Yeah, so, like, how do you tell somebody who's trying to teach you something where you already feel like you picked it up quicker than they're trying to teach you?
I
was going, you're like, man, I'm not stupid. And you're like,
Exactly. I mean, I went through the same thing with my independent living skills instructor who came to my house, and she would teach me different things. But, I mean, unlike some instructors, she realized pretty quickly just catering things to me that, hey, yeah, he gets this, he understands. And so we'd go down a checklist instead of, like, her saying, okay, this is what we're going to learn today. She kind of went down a checklist and was like, do you understand this? And I'd be like, yeah.
Exactly.
And then we kind of figured out the pieces that I maybe didn't understand. But rather than having me do everything, which, I mean, yeah, we cook a meal or something like that. But rather than having me do everything, most of the time, and this is where those kinds of instructors are really helpful, because I still have her phone number, and I can shoot her a text message if I kind of encounter something that I feel like she does have a special trick for. But at the same time, I'm usually good enough with her just telling me what the trick is, not with her having to, like, come over and be like, all right, now do it, and we can play show and tell here a little bit.
Right.
Exactly.
I have a question for Corey. This is his little brother, Kyle Lloyd. I could just speak on some of the things where after he came back from the second school, and just to see some of the independence that he was doing and things like that. So Corey, could you speak on the independence that you gained and the confidence that you gained being away for such a long period of time, and then boom, coming back to the house and not needing as much help as me or my dad would usually give him, where you got to tell us, hey, I got this. I don't need as much help in that regard. Could you speak on that, Corey?
Yeah, that definitely gave me so much more confidence, where I took a flight from Newark, New Jersey, up to Buffalo, New York, and I went up there and stayed there for 10 weeks. And I didn't need my brothers or my dad or stepmom to help me with any type of food or any type of cooking, cleaning. I did everything on my own. And then, you know, I proved to myself that, you know, that I could do everything on my own. And it built my confidence to such a high level that I wasn't even sure that I could ever reach. And, you know, I would call my brother every day, and I'd call my dad every day. And they told me, Corey, you know, you had this inside of you the whole time. And I didn't even know it was in me. But I didn't need them. If I didn't need them, that's not it's not a negative thing to say against them, but they weren't around, but I still made things possible. So I did my best without them around, and I made the best of my whole situation. So,
hey, Corey, this is Maria. I love hearing that, by the way. I just think that's awesome. But I want to go back to when I first met you. And can you talk a little bit about how you and your other brother got involved in the Cure Ride?
So Jeremy... Jeremy reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in going through the whole the ride down the whole California coast, 250 miles, which I was like, whoa, no way.
never going to be able to accomplish that, but but we made it possible. We made it happen. I reached out to an older fraternity member of mine who, they said they were going to, I practiced on a bike to practice before I went out there. And we made it happen. I practiced a little bit on the bike, and we went out there and accomplished the whole 250 miles along the California coast.
And that was, you had just been diagnosed.
About a year and a half. That's
yeah.
all I had. A year and a half.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, and anyone's calling, that's when I first met you, Corey, in California. And you, the thrill, the excitement, the energy coming off of you and everyone else on the ride, but you especially, because you were so, just so happy that you, well, one, that you were done, because it was a brutal
oh my
ride,
God, yeah.
but also the fact that you got so out of your comfort zone. And that was, I think, one of the first big confidence builders that you attempted to do.
It meant the world to me when Jeremy, I don't know if he's still on the call, but he was like, man, I don't know if I would have been able to do it a year and a half into my diagnosis. And I was like, man.
Yeah.
He kept me going. You know, he kept me going.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I thought that was awesome. That was really
It was
awesome.
Great talking to you once we got back to
yeah,
San Diego.
Yeah.
It was great talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how connections are made, you know. That's how contacts are made. But, you know, all I think everyone could say, you said the Jersey Boys, you know, out on the California
yeah.
coast on a bike for the first time. It could not have been easy a few of those miles. But, you know, you were just beaming and smiling from ear to ear. And I remember talking to your mom, and she was just so happy that you had done it. And, that was a real good, great moment for everyone at the end of that cure ride, but I thought that was a neat achievement. I wanted you to, you know, mention it.
Yeah.
Can I actually mention something?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody there?
Yeah.
Yep, Cam, that's you.
Yeah, just like Corey can tell my voice, I know this guy since I was 12.
Yep,
you know, yeah.
Yeah.
<doing that. laughs>
yeah.
But I just wanted to say that, I mean, Corey's taught me a lot, too. I mean, I've known him since sixth grade, and I've grown up with him. I've seen him go through a lot of stuff, but nothing harder than this whole thing. So it's just been eye-opening for me, one. Two, I'm learning as much as he is, I mean, along the way. I mean, I'll tell you what, I know people's names a lot better than I did before, because whenever I'm with Corey, I have this system. Somebody walks up to us, I go, hey, it's X, Y, and Z, hey, it's so-and-so, hey, it's so-and-so, just
yep.
to kind of, you know, make sure he's comfortable. But sometimes people walk up, and I'm looking at Corey, I'm like, Corey, I don't know who this is.
I
we're just going to have to work this out. Somehow, like, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
One thing about Corey is he's, like, the biggest social butterfly. Like, I'm pretty social, and I like to meet people. But he's, like, he trumps me. Like he's... Like growing up, like in college, he knows so many people. So trying to keep all his names straight is really, really hard, as you can imagine. But another thing I wanted to mention too, I mean, I go back and forth with Corey about this all the time. I feel like he apologizes too much to me, or just in general. I'm like Corey, like we know what's going on. We're here to help you. You don't feel like you have to apologize for anything, or feel like you're a burden, because I mean. If I were, I mean, I'm talking to you now, Corey. I mean, if I broke my leg or my arm or something, and you need to carry a bag for me or open the door or do this or drive or do something for me, I mean, I'm not gonna apologize, because I have there's something going on with me, something I need help with. So you would never expect an apology out of me. You know, it's just something that you have to live with. You know, and I would not like to compare having a broken arm or broken leg to Elhan, but it's just. Kind of gives you an idea, like it's never needed for you to say, you know, thank you all the time, which you do, you know, just, I love you, man. You know, this is what something you do for somebody you love. So,
right.
To everybody else out there, what Elhan is listening to, I mean, if you have a strong support system, which Corey does, I mean, the people are willing to help you. I mean, there's going to be people out there that you've grown up with that aren't, you know, always going to be receptive to the condition and everything like that. But, I mean, just having those people around there that you know are going to be there no matter what, you know, Elhan and Elhan, I mean, that's what's important, you know. Like you really, I'm talking to Corey, like you really start to understand who's close to you, who your real friends are. It sounds bad, but I mean, who's there in your time of most need? And, you know, I know Corey would do the same for me if I needed it, and he still will. So I just,
that's,
you know,
true.
I feel like I need to say that, you know, because it's like, you know, it's not an easy thing, you know. Talking to Corey, I've had a lot of long talks with Corey about the whole situation. I mean, it's not easy. And I know for me, when I get through something hard or I'm at work and I'm like, I don't want to wake up in the morning, I go, you know, Corey's doing it. Corey's doing this thing with a disability with Elhan. So, I mean, do I have anything to complain? So it's improved me. So, I mean, I just feel like I need to say that because, I mean, Corey's pretty my guy. Like, it's one of my closest friends. He'll be at my wedding. Probably be my best man at my wedding, honestly.
exactly.
So
he'll be mine. He'll be mine,
yeah.
Too.
Hey!
Yeah. you know, it's so important to have friends, family, people that understand, the people that are invested in this, people that will hop on a call to understand more and spread the word and just talk to more people. But, I mean, Corey, he can't get rid of me. I mean, we still have arguments like we did the past, you know, 15, whatever years, but we get over it, and at the end of the day, it still comes from a place of love, and I have his back whenever he needs me.
Oh, gracious.
So I think that's, you know, I just feel like I need to mention that.
Yeah, everybody on the call, these are two of my fraternity brothers, and I'll say I'm sorry every time they try to help me out. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't pick up my bag. I'm sorry about that. Sorry about this. And they always say, stop saying sorry, man. Stop saying sorry. And they always tell me, stop saying sorry. That's where he's coming from.
That was awesome, Cameron. This is Maria. That was really, really nice to hear. And I think a lot of affecteds can have either not heard that from their friends or have heard that. I've heard the same thing. I was constantly saying, I'm a burden. And I, you know,
yeah.
I'm sorry you have to drive me. And
yeah,
I'm such
exactly.
a pain. And you know what? They said the exact same thing as Cameron. They said, you know what? You do the same for me if I was in your situation. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's different. You know, it's me. And they go, no, it's not different. And what they said is, this is now just an extension of our friendship. This is just an extension. This is what it is now. And, you know, they're just saying, quit saying you're sorry and quit buying us, you know, Starbucks coffees and quit doing this and quit doing that, you know. And I'm like, I know. But it does mean a lot to us, Cameron, and I know I'm speaking out here, but it does mean a lot, even if it's that car ride or picking up our bag for us. It means so much more than just the ride. It goes mm-hmm. so beyond that, and we appreciate friends like you, Cameron, and I can tell you guys are really close, and it's great to hear that Corey has
That's
friends
cool.
like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Corey really
don't like that.
So.
What?
Hi, this is Tracy, and I think one of the biggest learning experiences I got is that this affects everybody around you, not just you. And so that was a real learning experience for me, hearing what you guys are going through, you know, saying sorry all the time. I don't do that anymore. I got a friend that drives me around, and when I was telling him I'm sorry, he said, hey, scoot over and drive. Well, I can't. Then shut up, you know. So, so it affects everybody. You know, friends and family, not just you.
Definitely.
I just hopped on the call. My name is Shamir. I'm Corey's fraternity brother as well. Brother, you know, different mothers, you know, different fathers, but blood didn't make us any closer.
Right.
Of course. So I just wanted to introduce myself, you know.
Mm. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Yeah, no, they, it's like, it's unapologetic. They don't even let me say sorry anymore. So they just say,
that's
you
good.
Know what, come on, it's
oh,
right there, come on.
That's good friends right there, Corey. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey,
right.
Corey, it's Lisa from Canada here.
Okay.
First of all, you know, great storytelling of your life. I didn't catch how old you are. You keep referring to your little brother, which I think you said was 22, and that's not really a little brother. So can I ask how old you are?
I'm 26, and my little brother's 22.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's always going to be a baby to me.
I hear you. But just so you know, the part about saying sorry, I'm 13 years into LHON, and I still do it. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was out with one of my girlfriends, and we were in a store, and I said to the sales clerk, you know, I'm sorry, but I have a vision disability. You'll have to explain to me what I'm looking at. And we got back
okay.
to the car, and my girlfriend, who's a very good friend of mine, says to me, would you stop saying sorry for your vision disability? You are who you are. You're perfect inside and out. So to me, having a friend be able to say that to you is amazing, and knowing that you have such a family support system and your friend Cameron speaking up like that, that's
yeah.
true friend, and cherish every moment that you have with your friends and family that are there for you to support you, because it's very rare to find those types of people in your world.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate Cameron and Shamir for just just being that strong for me. But yeah, I don't know, how do you, for me it's tough to accept help like that. So do you just put that set aside and just know that, okay, I need help right now? Or do you ever look at it like, okay, now I'm the person who needs help? So, like, how do you look at it? Is saying, can you help me right now, easier for you now than it was when you first got diagnosed?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. I still have a very difficult time, and my mother is on the line, and she will attest to it, to even ask for help still after this many years, only because I'm a stubborn, independent type of person. But it's okay. I realized it's okay to ask for help, because people wouldn't do it if they didn't want to.
Okay.
And that's the bottom line. And it's taken me a long time to get to that point to realize people wouldn't say yes if they wanted to help you if they really didn't want to. And it's not a burden, or they don't need to feel responsible for doing it. They want to do it because they care and they love you. In return,
right.
we give back in different ways to them. We may not be able to drive them places, but we can do other things in different ways to reciprocate what they do for us.
Yeah, that's true.
This is Ida, also from Canada, and I'm listening to you speak, Lisa,
yeah.
and the same with Marie, and I totally agree with you, but I also find myself in that same situation, always saying I'm sorry and having great difficulty asking for help. I feel like you, Lisa, I have to be independent and show people. And then when I do have help or somebody drives me, I feel like, I'll buy you a coffee. I'll take you for lunch. And because it's difficult to find ways to reciprocate
before
I might go out and buy something. Yeah, it's
yep.
difficult. How do we reciprocate other than, I'll take you for lunch, or I'll pay for lunch today, or, I'll pay for the coffee, or...
I can
go out and buy something for them.
Answer that, and my mom, a very wise and dear person to me, as some of you have met her, would give her life for anybody. She said to me one time, it's not about her doing stuff for me or because she has to. It's another way for her to be able to spend time with me. So in turn, that's how we reciprocate back. We're spending that time with those people that mean something to us.
Right.
In our busy lives, if we all could drive and see and do everything, realistically, we probably would not be spending as much quality time with our friends and family as we do today.
I like that.
That's so true.
You know, that's a really good point, Lisa.
Life is so short, and our lives are so busy that we need to stop for a moment and realize what is important and what isn't important. And I have to tell you, when I was diagnosed with LHON, my life, like everybody else, changed and thought life was ending. And some days, yes, even to this day, I feel like it is at times. But I have to look at the positive side of things. I wouldn't be where I am today without the support of my family, my friends, and I wouldn't have been able to spend all the time with my mother, my son, you know, raising my children, my friends, if I was, you know, working full-time or doing what I was doing in my sighted world. So there's different ways to reciprocate back to people. It doesn't have to be buying something. It could be even just sending a text message or an email, picking up the phone, calling.
Oh, I know. I do that all the time.
That means more to people than I think we realize.
Right.
Taking time out of our busy lives to recognize somebody else is, to me, very important.
Oh, it is, yes.
Yep. Yo, Corey.
Hello. Oh.
Yes. Yes, Danny?
It's Danny, yeah.
Gotcha, yep.
I just want to put my two cents in.
Okay. This is another one of my fraternity brothers who...
I love it.
You see the support is flowing in, Danny.
That's
yes.
Kind of it.
Yeah. My brother, you will never have to say sorry to me.
Right.
All you got to do is just talk to me, because anything I do for you, you do it tenfold. And the counsel that you get to me and the optimism that you inspire. So don't ever tell me sorry.
Right, man. I try my best. Danny, give a quick rundown of like when you first heard about my situation to how I am now. Just like so positive. Like my optimism is. Go ahead.
Corey is, I would say, the only person that would be as positive as you. That I know. And, you know, when this first happened, when he first was diagnosed, I would try to stay in contact with him as much as possible. But I saw the rapid decline in positivity. Now, I have no idea exactly what he's going through. I just could tell, you know, that little twinkle was starting to dwindle a little bit. So staying in contact with him, speaking to him, I see the spark coming back. Seeing it come back. And I see it's at its highest point at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I just think it's only going to get better. And you know, all of us are here. And we're gonna
I agree.
Out. And we're going to help you to get into the opportunity that you want to be at, help you grow as much as you want to grow.
I agree. And you guys helped me out so much. Like, just a day-by-day good morning text or, you know, how you doing? How you been? You know, what's going on with you? All right, let's just keep the positivity up. And I try my best to keep that positivity with you guys. So, I mean, you guys always help me out. So, one little bit, but, it's hard. It's hard, but I'm doing my best to keep the positivity.
This is Lori. I'm gonna go ahead and speak on and add on to what Lisa was saying, in a cousin's point of view. We just recently lost our grandma. Maybe it's been like 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks, and we got an opportunity to see Corey. Some of us haven't seen each other for like 15 years, 5 years. It's been a long time. So. For the whole family just to, you know, reconnect and everything like that, I spoke to Corey. It had been maybe two, three weeks when it all happened. And just talking to him and having him tell me that, you know, he's kind of like, you know, he don't know how to react towards, you know, the cousins that hasn't seen him in a long time, because I went to his graduation. That was the last time I seen Corey. So, I mean, I told Corey, you know, you shouldn't have to worry about, you know, how everybody will react. But I know that's something that, you know, I guess, you know, by seeing people or just knowing that how, just having people.
It was playing on my mind. It was playing on my mind.
Yeah, and it was like. It was like, Corey, you are still Corey. You know what I'm saying? Like the Corey that I knew from a baby coming up, you know, just that personality, all that will show, you know, nobody's going to treat you any different. And when we got down there to St. Thomas, where
the Virgin
our,
Island.
The Virgin Island, where my grandma is from. And just that love and, oh, my gosh, just seeing Corey just glow. Like everything, just a disability and everything like that, it just is nothing. I mean, he just was out there like same old Corey, you know. So I was just so glad just to experience that, also with the just learning, you know, everything that, you know, what he's going through. And he started up a group chat with all the cousins, and I mean, it's just amazing. Just like Lisa was saying, just everybody just getting closer with each other. Like, we, like busy days, I don't even pick up the phone because, you know, it's just work, work, and work. But now it's like we just take our time out, even if it's 2 seconds, just to, hey, how you doing? What's up, cousin? You know, stuff like that. And it brightens up my day just knowing that it's brightening up his, you know, his day or my other cousin's day. And I just want to speak on that, you know, just me just looking at it, he has inspired me so much, so much, so much. So I love you, Corey.
I love you, too. I appreciate those words. I appreciate everybody's words. And I really appreciate that.
And another thing, Corey, again, it's Cameron speaking again. I don't want to hog everybody's time, but there's definitely things that, you know, I do with Corey. For one, is music. I mean, music is life to me. I love music, and I know Corey does too. So I can literally just sit in the car and listen to music, or turn an album on and just literally listen to it through and just critique it. That's something that we can do together, and we can both, you know, absorb the music, and we enjoy each other's company. But I mean, there's definitely things you could do with family, your friends, or anybody else that everybody's on a common ground. It doesn't involve sight. It's just, you can, I can close my eyes and, you know, and I'm equal to Corey. I see what he sees. But it's not about the seeing. It's about music, and it's about, and I just use music as an example. But I mean, there's things that I do with Corey that's like, he doesn't even have it a lot, you know. And I think music is one of the things that we share a love for, that we can do. And it's just it's such a good time to spend with them. I mean, I can't say enough, you know, the amount of good times and memories I've had with them, and the more I will have. But I definitely think music is definitely helped. I think, you know, Corey's a big Motown fan. And I know he wanted to see Jersey Boys, so he was quite upset that I went to see Jersey Boys with my fan. But I plan on going back to see Jersey Boys on Broadway or Motown. And it's just that, you know, music is always going to be there, and it's just something that we share. And I think it's really important to have that you could do that. It's not, you know, there's no disability when it comes to music. You know, it's just, we're just listening, we're absorbing everything, and we're taking it. And I love just throwing on the album, the new album, and just hanging out with Corey and just sitting and absorbing it and taking it. I can do that for hours, literally hours. And I know when I'm with Corey, whatever we're doing, time just passes. You know, so there's definitely things that we still do. It's, nothing has changed. I think it's important to find that, what that is. And focus on that. And I'm a big proponent of positive energy, you know, staying positive. So anything I can do to increase his positivity increases my positivity. And I just, it's something that I could do daily, literally. So, I mean, it's, there's definitely things that are still out there that, that are good to do that just, you know, can brighten everyone's day.
You guys give me a tear coming from my eyes right now. Lori, Cameron, Danny. Oh, my God.
Shamir.
My God, Kyle.
Shamir. Kyle. It's Maria here, and I just ride right back on what Cameron says, is that it is really important, Cameron, to find the things that you still, as an affected myself, that you still enjoyed, quote-unquote, before, because that's your, that's still who you are. And like Corey said, he was like, how am I ever going to do or be who I was? And that's, I think, a question that goes through all of our minds is, how am I ever going to be who I was? And truly the real deal is you never really go away. You just have to find yourself again. And keeping those, you know, your friends close by and doing things like Cameron says, you guys listen to music together, that's keeping, you know, that's keeping Corey. And that's keeping your old, I want to say your old life because I say that, but it's keeping that that little bit of normal still in your life that you enjoyed before. And so many other things can still be enjoyed. I'm learning that myself, that, you know, not everything gets taken away by LHON, not everything.
Right.
And you're saying listening to music, obviously that becomes big because we're now more, way more auditory. So music almost, I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I almost hear music differently. The words, the instruments.
I can definitely attribute.
Right?
I definitely key in more.
Yeah.
To that. Like, I attribute more. I listen way more deeply.
Exactly. But yeah, so going back, yeah, I think it's really important to keep doing some of the things that you were doing before to kind of still, you know, keep, you know, who you were around, because they are there. They just kind of go away for a while. You know, they just kind of get buried deep inside, and you have to kind of do things to keep your old self, you know, out there, because they, you know, you really don't go away. Although we think, you know, we don't lose ourselves when we lose vision. It's just the vision, but it takes a while to see ourselves again. It really does.
Right.
I like that, Maria.
Yeah.
And it was so cool, you know, like, I mean, the amazing people Corey has surrounded himself with. I love that Corey's friends would be like, oh, hey, what's up, so-and-so, like, oh, my God, someone told me who's in front of me, you know? Like, it's such a little thing, but it adds so much ease, you know, when you're like, oh, it's that person. Then to stand there and, like, pretend like you know who it is. It's the little things that our family and friends do for us that really make a difference as well, because it's only little, you know?
I have the best friends and cousins of all time. Cam, you still out there?
Well, no, I'm here. I'm here, man.
Mayor, you still out there?
Of course.
And Kyle, here too, I don't know if Kyle went to sleep.
No, I'm here.
All right, cool. All right, Danny.
And Shamir, Corey. Your friend Shamir's there.
Yo, Webb, you didn't say nothing.
How you doing, Corey? I'm Chris. All right,
cool.
All right. Yeah, just honestly, I wanted to say that I remember, you know, back when you first were diagnosed and your frustration that you experienced during that time. Like, I definitely sensed a lot of frustration, a lot of, you know, for you, you know, it was right during around the time you were about to graduate. And I remember you telling me, you know, well, you know, you had all these things you wanted to do and, you know, you talked about how you felt like it was unfair. And I remember, you know, how you were back then. When you first, you know, first experiencing it, and now I'm seeing you now so more empowered, so full of energy. I can see a destiny, like, I can see, like, you've become more independent. Like, I remember before, like, you didn't want to go out as much, but now I see a different Corey. I don't see a different Corey. I see the Corey that I remember before you were diagnosed. You know?
Right.
And I'm glad to know that Corey's still there. And I'm glad to see that you are doing good and that, you know, you can do something like this and have this talk and inspire other people as well. So I just wanted to say I'm really proud of you. And
Wow. I'm always here for you.
I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that. That means the world to me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So,
Corey, anybody else want to ask anything else to Corey? I mean, I'm feeling the love from here, so this is awesome.
well, I'm Shamir. I didn't get to say my piece.
All right.
I can say my piece. For me, I guess I was there from the full beginning, like from when Corey was having blind vision. I'm just like, yo, that's just, you know, that's just from partying last night. Like, it'll be all right. Like, you'll shake it off. It's fine. Then actually being like, no, something's wrong. Like, I don't feel right. And then him going to the doctor and then him getting diagnosed. And it just was like, wow. Like, it was a very, you know, life-changing experience for him, but also it was a life-changing experience for me. Like, for me, me and Corey, like, we're like literally like that. I mean, we're not as super close as Cameron and him because they grew up with each other, you know, from a very younger age. But I can say that Corey was literally my big brother. Like, when I came into Rutgers and I first met Corey, Corey showed me the ropes. He showed me, you know, what classes I needed to take to, you know, fulfill a quick requirement. Like, He was that guy. Like, I've met different people because he was such a social person that he knew everybody. It was just like, Corey, I don't know who that is. Like, introduce me. Like, I need to know who that is. Like, so when he was going through that process, and he was kind of, I wouldn't say losing himself, but he wasn't himself because he was going through such a dark time. You know, me and him talked every day faithfully. It was just
all
like,
the time.
No matter what, one thing I always told Corey, like, no matter what, like, you always have your support system no matter what. Like, anywhere you go, like, if you need two legs, I'm your two legs. If you need hands, I'm your hands. Like, anywhere he went, that's how I was, because I felt like, you know, he was such an influence on me. I wanted to return that favor. And like everyone else said, like, you know, he did apologize and say sorry, but I was like, I will always tell him, like everyone else said, there's no need for you to say sorry. Like, this, you got to think of this as an extended family. We're not your immediate family, but we are your extended family. Like, we're here no matter what, no matter what you go through. And, you know, just being going through that, you know, going through that dark stage. He just wasn't himself. And I kept pushing him and telling him, like, look, like, it's okay. Like, everything's going to be fine. Like, even a cure will come one day. You know, a cure will come one day for everyone with this condition. Like, you know, I like Cameron said, I'm one of positive vibes as well. Like, I love positive energy around me. So, you know, just, you know, exuding that positive energy back into Corey and just letting him know, like, look, no matter where you go, if I'm there, if Chris is there, if Cameron's there, if Danny's there, if any of us are there, or his cousins or family's there, like, you're fine. You don't have to worry about nothing. No one can say anything to you. You don't have to apologize for anything because we're going to be there no matter what. And I talk to Corey safely. Like, I call him most of the time. He calls me most of the time. We talk pretty often. So it's just like now seeing him, you know, getting back into his normal self. Like, you know, the other day he called me back from his trip and he was like, yo, bro, like, I went on the beach for the first time. Like, it felt amazing. And I remember playing basketball with Corey. Like, he's an athlete. So for him to have that passion again, just to, you know, just run on the beach and just be free and doesn't have to worry about, you know, someone maybe judging him just on his condition or someone saying, oh, like, what's wrong with him, because they don't know what's actually wrong. They just see someone, you know, in that state. So it's just like for him to tell me that, like, I felt like I was running again. Like, it was my first time running on the beach. Like, I was letting my passion of, you know, being energetic and being athletic come back, you know, for my first sensation when I had it. So it just, you know, he inspires me a lot because, you know, I wake up every day if I'm having a hard day, like Cameron says, like, it's like, well, if what is Corey doing at this moment? He's probably up right now, you know, going about his business, and he's
exactly.
You know, he doesn't have his full vision. I have mine. Like, what would he kill to have two eyes to get up every day and do what I'm doing? So he motivates
exactly.
me every day. Little do he know that, but you know, he's part of my motivation. You know, to be successful, to keep doing what I'm doing, and you know, just
exactly.
being a great system to him because, you know, we're all brothers. At the end of the day, we're all brothers. You know, blood doesn't need to make us, you know, officially brothers for us to really be brothers. Like, we're brothers no matter what. You know, anything he needs, anything any one of us needs, but more so anything he needs, any plans that he has, any aspirations to do anything, like, we're going to be behind him 100%. So, you know, it's just great to see that he's
definitely
in that positive light because
he was
in some dark times. And, you know, in the dark
definitely.
Times, it was like, you know, it's okay, like it's all right, you know, because it was new to him. It was something that just sprung up on him. He didn't really know how to react. It was like, you know, it's okay. Like, no matter what, we're all graduated, but we still. See each other. We always communicate with each other. We always at least have time to be with each other. We all, you know, make sure he's okay. We all make sure we're all okay. So he has that support system, and it's just great, you know, that he's, you know, still, you know, being positive, still being Corey. Like, that's the person that I first met who showed me, you know, the way at Rutgers. So it's just kind of like, it's just great to see him back in his positivity. It's really amazing to see that, you know, him being back to himself and, you know, no obstacle, regardless of what it is not stopping him from being him and being in being a positive person. So it's just really amazing.
Corey, are you still there?
Yes.
Holy cow, we knew you were amazing, but whoa.
who knew?
I mean, we knew. We already knew you were awesome. But, hey, anytime
was that,
you
was that
a bad
too
day,
much?
No, I'm going to put you guys on repeat so I can, like, get pumped up when I'm having a bad day. Like,
okay.
I felt like you guys were just, like, speaking to all of us. Like, this was, like, some amazing support that just, like, I mean, the overflowing support you have is incredible.
Okay.
Is someone getting it back?
Somebody
want to? Don't forget to mute yourself.
Don't.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
okay.
I'm speechless.
Okay.
That's amazing. Your support network's insane. No wonder you carry yourself so well and, like, sky's the limit, you know? Killer
yep.
support network. That's awesome.
Right. Told you, I love everybody. I love my family. I love everybody who put their 2 cents in. I love everybody.
That is an awesome support network, and you're definitely lucky to have them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it is 6:15. I'm going to, don't want to hang up, but I do want to unmute us.
Okay.
So if anyone has any questions or questions for Corey or just kind of wants to chime in. I also do want to encourage any first-time callers to chime in as well. We'd love to hear from you if you give me 2 seconds.